Danielle, aren't you glad that's true? Amen. Remember, it's true on Monday as well as Sunday. So if you start off with something bad in the morning, just remember the Lord's still watching over you. Amen. Well, I want you to go tonight to the book of Isaiah for a starting place, and we'll see where we go from there. Book of Isaiah, the last chapter, chapter 66. Isaiah is a tremendous book in the Word of God, like the rest of them. The Lord Jesus Christ quoted from it many times, as well as the Apostle Paul. And in the setting here tonight, we are looking near the end of things and the victory end. And by the way, do you know that it does end in victory? We may lose a few battles here, but the war has been won by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to keep that in mind. Amen. All right, I want you to jump in at Isaiah 66, last chapter. I'm just going to read four verses, even though the chapter itself is so tremendous, and I don't know what time we're going to get out anyway. Does anybody have an early breakfast appointment in the morning? I was in Sunday school this morning where Paul had a whole night of it. Amen. Remember that? So I'd be right in the Bible. Amen. All right. I want to preach to you a little bit tonight on the subject of delusion time. And I think you'll see it in the verses that we're going to read here in chapter 66. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made." Did you ever think about that? Everything we use today, God's the maker. Amen. He said, all that stuff you put together and make look pretty for the house of God, that's fine, but I made it all to begin with, start with. "And all those things have already been, he said, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, in of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Now, verse 3 describes the religious ceremonies. "He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in all their abominations." He's saying all this fake worship when their heart's not with me. That's what he's talking about. So he said, I'd rather have a man with a contrite spirit that trembles at my word than somebody that goes through all the big religious ceremony here, is what he's talking about. Then verse 4, "I also will choose their delusions." That's the word I want you to get. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about the fakers, the hypocrites, the enemy. "I will also choose their delusions." God said, I'll have a part of bringing those delusions on them. "And will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not." Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about delusions. Now, we sometimes say that guy's a little deluded or something like that. We know the word deluded and delusion and comes pretty close in with deception and deceive and all of that business. And there's the story in the Bible, of course, where Jacob worked 7 years and woke up that morning with the wrong bride. Anybody remember that? He got deceived, didn't he? I think about the young farmhand that knew his boss had got a new flashlight. So he said, "Could I borrow your flashlight tonight?" He said, "For what?" He said, "Well, I want to go walking with my girlfriend down the lane." And the old farmer said, "Look, son, when I courted, we had to use a lantern." And the boy looked at him and said, "Yeah, but look what you got." So he wanted to step it up a notch, amen. He wanted one of those 6 battery jobs or whatever. All right, we know what it is to be deceived. We know what it is to be deluded. We can joke about that all we want to, but when it happens to us and we feel like we've been made a fool of, we don't like it, do we? And that's common to us. All of us have been fooled at some time or at something. Did you ever think you really saw something when you didn't? Well, we could all swap ghost stories. My grandma was the best ghost storyteller you ever heard. The Twilight Zone can't even get close to grandma's stories. Amen. But the truth of the matter is we may have thought we saw something sometime when we didn't. But in the text here, it's telling us that the delusions are going to come from God. He said they've gone so far, they've crossed the line. He said, I'll choose their delusions. I'll get in the business of deceiving them myself. Well, that's pretty bad, isn't it? You know, we live in a day of con men. I've never seen so many phone calls. I've never seen so much deception as is going on today, stealing identities and all of that stuff that's going on. And while that's true, sometimes we can catch those guys, or at least we're smart enough not to fall for the scheme. But when God starts bringing the delusion, you're not going to outsmart him. And here's a generation at the end time, and that's the context of Isaiah here, the end time, just before the millennial reign, in fact, into the millennial reign, and even past that, because when you get down to verse 22 and 23, it's talking about the new heavens and the new earth that he's going to build. So this is somewhat of an end time context or setting here, and God says, and I believe he's talking about our time, very close to our time of delusion. Because we are in a day of deception today. We've got more delusion going on today than you can imagine. The sad truth is that people get, sometimes our own mind tricks us. I think I told you the story about the schoolboys that wanted to play a prank. I don't know when it was, around Halloween or whenever it was in the country school they went to. So when school opened up the next morning, all the teachers looked out the window on the nice yard they'd been trying to keep out there, and there was three goats out there. Now, if you're a country, you know what goats can do to things, amen? And trouble was, those boys had painted a number on the three goats. They painted number one on one goat, number two on the other goat, and number four on the other goat. The teachers couldn't teach all day. They were hunting goat number three. They just knew he must exist. Amen. Now, you know what? They were being deceived. And we look around today, and yeah, we've been deceived some from time to time. And I want to say something a little bit about delusion tonight. There's much delusion now. And let me say this, there's much delusion in religion today. Did you see in the news just recently down in Mexico where there's a cult down there that's worshiping what they call Saint Death? And it's sort of like a Halloween costume, a skeleton type thing. But here's the trouble. The cult is sacrificing people to it, kids in particular. And the Mexican government is trying to break that up. Do you understand that folks in cults have been deluded? That's sad, but it's in religion. You look around today and see it so many places. In Islam today, do you understand that to get assurance that you're going to heaven, you need to kill one of Allah's enemies? I stuck something in my Bible here if I can find it. Yes, here it is. Here's some pictures. Beautiful little kids in a private school. This killer, this Muslim, comes up. And he intends to kill a bunch of the kids. He gets blocked at the door, but he's able to grab this one little 8-year-old girl by the hair and shoot her in the head right in front of her daddy, who's the principal. This is a sad, ridiculous thing, but see what he was doing? He was getting his assurance of heaven home in heaven. It says it so right here. He's going with the 72 virgins that's waiting on him up there. Because that's the only guarantee he has of heaven, is to kill some of Allah's enemies. Now, what is it? He's deluded. That's delusion, my friend. He's deceived. And yet he is doing that very thing because he thinks that's his entrance into heaven. And so you look around today and you see in religion, quote religion, all kind of delusion going on. It's a bad, bad thing. We look in America and see the liberals, though, trying to paint this good. In fact, if you go on down in the article, it's trying to tell you this Islam fellow here that done the killing probably had a bad childhood. You ever notice how everything bad is blamed on a bad childhood? Or your mother scolded you? I'll tell you what didn't happen. Your dad ought to beat the fire out of you when you was growing up. Taught you some sense. That's what was needed. And help yourself out there, all you wimps. I get so sick and tired of this world we live in today that's gone crazy. I mean, you look around today, and it is the most amazing thing compared to what some of us grew up in. And whether you like to believe this or not, I'm preaching a sermon. And the truth of the matter is, you are reaping the good in America because somebody in my generation paid for it. And I don't mean just in their taxes, I mean in their character. I mean in establishing a foundation that could be built on. And we're losing that foundation today. We're being diluted out of it. Liberals today have created, and you've heard me say, I've heard you say that before. You know why I said it before? Because you didn't get it the first time. We got liberals today trying to pretend that Christianity and Islam is one and the same and can be put together. They even got a name for it, calling it Chrislam. And it's terrible to see some of the leading names like Rick Warren and others that have pushed that sort of junk. And America's being deluded. God said, I'll choose your delusion for you. I'll bring it on you. And that's exactly what is happening here today. We look around today, see that good people get deluded. Did you see in the paper today about the baptisms in the open field? How many of you saw that? I want to tell you something. Baptism don't save you. And some folks are being deluded that thinks it does. Baptism doesn't wash away your sins. If it does, you ought to stay in the bathtub all the time. The truth of the matter is, that's delusion. That's false. And yet it gives somebody a false hope. Well, I saw the tub out there, and I stopped and went out there and got baptized, and I got great peace about it. You better watch out. You better watch out for that stuff. Oh, my soul, I could park on that a while. Now I would hope somebody was out there winning souls, but the whole thing, and I can see some of the name of some of the churches involved. I want to tell you, when a church preaches you got to be baptized to be saved, they're preaching heresy to you. Now, the truth is, you ought to get baptized after you're saved in the proper place, under the proper authority, and not just somebody got the authority to go out in a cow pasture and dip you, brother. That's all it amounts to. But you see, we've been deceived. Today, our government's deceiving us. I mean, the government has brought delusion like I've never seen it before. By the way, we have the Prime Minister of Israel coming over trying to save his nation from the nukes that's being prepared in Iran. And we're trying to say to his face in front of the TV cameras, we're trying to say we're for you, but on the backside, when nobody is looking, we expose their plan to go in and hit the Iranian nuclear plants. Oh yeah, we exposed the fact that another Muslim country was going to let them use air bases to fly in. You know why the other Muslim countries want to do that? Because they don't trust Iran either to have nukes. And I want to say to you, we're pretending to be a friend. Our government's pretending to be a friend to Israel when they're not. Brother, when they backstab them like that and be a Judas to them to expose their plan, that's a terrible thing. That's delusion. A lot of our citizens are being deluded into thinking there's a free lunch. That's right. We want all the freebies. That's why you see the crowd in the streets. We want the freebies. We're not getting enough freebies. Our tuition got hiked. I don't see why they care. They don't pay it. No way. You think I said that wrong? Let me tell you something. The biggest debt right now in America is unpaid college tuition loans, taxpayer money, bigger than the credit card debt. That's big, folks. Billions, yes. It's amazing. But we want more. We want more. We want more freebies. Largest debt in America right now as a whole is that. Do you know what your freebies cost you? It costs you your freedom. Your freedom. If you want the government to take care of you from the cradle to the grave, just go ahead and get in prison and stay there. You'll have a bed, you'll have meals, you'll even have free dental work. But you know it'll cost you, it'll cost you your freedom. And that's exactly where we're being trapped. Deluded, if you please. Delusion coming through the government. It's too bad. You know, when some of us went over to Russia, we saw what the so-called socialistic state produced. It produced almost zombies. I mean, honestly, you knew something. You began to sense something right in the center of Moscow, right there in their big hotels. You saw people walking around, breathing, but not acting like they cared whether they lived or not. They had no zeal. They had no energy. They had no desire. It was just existence. And I've said this before, but I said to them, I'm looking around and I see the buildings need repairs. I see all the work that needs to be done. The streets have got potholes in them. And I see crews standing around leaning on shovels. Nobody's working. What is it? And the ones I asked said this back to me. Well, preacher, they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work. That's what it produces. When you take away a man's freedom to have free enterprise, to go out and to work and reap the benefits of his work, when you take that away from him, you're taking away his zeal for life and desire. That's why, as a capitalistic nation, what's left of us, we're still paying the world's bills today. And the socialistic state is not working. It is not working, but it is bringing change, and it's bad change. It's bad change I'm talking to you about. It's a sad, sad thing. There is change coming. When you hear our president say to the Supreme Court, you better not declare my Obamacare unconstitutional, that is a danger signal. When you got three branches of government, you've got the executive branch where the president is, you've got the legislative branch where the Congress is, and you've got the Supreme Court, and all three are equal in power. And that's the way the forefathers set it up. So one could not be the dictator or set up the king over the other one. And when you get to the place, man, that one is trying to intimidate the other, we are in danger of losing what we've had in this country. Not to mention catching what was said on the open mic to the Russian president. When I get elected, I'll have more flexibility. Oh yeah, what are you gonna do with that? Why couldn't you say that to the American people? Something wrong. And the change that is coming is a dangerous change. It's already here, folks. It's already here. Alan Keyes is I told you about this before. I'm not senile. I'm repeating myself on purpose with a couple of these things. Alan Keyes was an ambassador under President Ronald Reagan. He was a black man. He tried to run for president. And the liberal media wouldn't have any of it, didn't give him a chance. If he'd have run, I'd have voted for him. If he were to run again, I'd vote for him. This is from Alan Keyes warning us about Agenda 21 with the UN that's just about already passed. And he's saying America is going to not be America any longer. That we are going to lose our sovereignty and lose our freedom and lose our independence to the United Nations. That's what he's saying here. I'd love to take time to read it all. I can't do it. He says, since my years of service as U.S. ambassador under President Ronald Reagan, I've alerted America to a lot of threats. But he says, Agenda 21 is the most aggressive, ambitious attack on our nation to be put forth by the UN one worlders for decades. And that's what it's all about, one world, one global government. That's what it's all about. He says, effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all human society, unlike anything the world has ever experienced, a major shift in the priorities of both governments and individuals, an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial sources. And I won't read it all, but he says, all in the name now of environmentalism. And I read some of the bill back here, what it would do. It'll eliminate private property rights. Now, we don't own much today that we don't pay taxes on. But I'm talking about when you eliminate private property rights, you're eliminating freedom. He said, enforce this UN mandated low energy approved housing to replace your home. Confiscate private farms and farmland. Snatch away other private land holdings. Ban individual ownership of internal combustion vehicles. Do you know what that is? That's what's on the parking lot out there. That's what you drove up in, rode up in. Do you know when you get to where you can't buy the gas to put it in and it's getting that way close, then you've lost a lot of freedom. Right now you're free to come to this building, get in your car and leave this building. But you know what's happening? It's in the news right now. A lot of young people now are not buying cars. They're on public transportation in the big cities. And the energy secretary that President Obama has in charge, his last name is Chu, that don't sound like Smith or Jones. They quizzed him, did he want gas prices to go up? Because he'd already said he did. Then he tried to back up and say he didn't. But then one of the senators asked him and he admitted he don't even own a car. But he's the energy secretary. Something's wrong, folks. Something's bad wrong. See, delusion. Here's the problem. The American citizens have failed for the delusion, for the sleight of hand, for the trick, for the promise that we'll all get a freebie. Everything, we all owed a government check. No, we are not. The government don't produce a thing. It can't give you anything that it didn't take from somebody else to give to you. And there was a day and time in America that our character was too deep for that. But I fear it's not there anymore. But you know, Alan Keyes is right here. I can't spend much time on it, but this is a dangerous thing. It'll take up your guns. It'll ultimately take up your cars. There'll be an elite group that'll rule, just like in communist countries, because there's only a little difference between socialism and communism. And there, and so the middle class, which is mainly you and I tonight, is going to get eliminated. That's the plan. You can't have a one world government. You can't mix a certain percentage of wealth in with all the poverty of the world without also bringing the wealth down. And that's what's happening. It's mixing in together. We look around, we see delusion is brought by religion today. It's brought by government. It's brought by so-called science, pseudoscience. Our kids being taught they come from monkeys in the school till they act like monkeys. Evolution. And you know what? They moved from evolution now. They brought evolution. I mean, down here, anybody that got much real, genuine, accurate science knows evolution is false, it's not true. So now they've changed from that, and they've moved from evolution to ET, extraterrestrial. Now we have been seeded from other planets by the little pointy, big-eyed guys that fly the flying saucers. And they've come down and planted us as a crop, and now they're watching over us, and they're going to come back and harvest us, and they're already harvesting some. And you see, you say, well, that was Twilight Zone stuff, uh-huh, but it's government stuff now. What you got now is the powers that be want you to believe that. And it's on your TV. The extraterrestrial thing is on your TV. And you know we already have a contingency plan in Washington how we're supposed to act when they show up? I don't know. Take me to your leader. They might turn around and go home when they see our leadership, amen? Just my opinion. I'll tell you, if you want to know the Bible answer to that, it's happened before. Genesis chapter 6, the fallen angels. Did you ever think why God flooded this world out? He flooded it out because something got wrong with the genes in mankind. The angels, the fallen angels came down. They mixed with the daughters of men. They produced the giants in the land. And God looked down and he was ready to destroy the whole thing. And he looked and he saw Noah, and Noah found grace in his eyes. But you know what else it says? It says Noah was perfect. Wait a minute. Just don't misquote me. Some of you aren't paying any attention, so you will. Don't misquote me. Noah was perfect in his generations. You know, you hear the word genes in our vocabulary today. Genes, generation. Can you put the two together? That's right. Do you understand Noah's genes were not polluted? Do you understand his bloodline was not mixed with the fallen angels? Do you understand that when God repopulated this world and let the eight souls come off the ark, he started over with a pure bloodline? Are you getting that? Do you think the fellows that came the first time are not still in existence? They are, and they are coming again, and they are going to deceive, and the world is going to fall for a delusion, and God said, I'll choose the delusion. I'll let you have it. That's what you want, I'll give it to you. You know, the biggest delusion is yet ahead. Just yet ahead. I saw a commercial on TV. Now, we've talked about the Mayan calendar and the date, the 21st of December, 2012. And don't give up. It could still be true. Some of you don't get my humor tonight a bit, do you? The world won't end as some folks are saying it. In fact, I'm not even sure the Mayans taught that. They taught a new beginning. I'm looking for the new beginning. I'm looking in chapter 66 of Isaiah, and I see a new beginning here. I read over here where he's going to build a new heaven and a new earth. I recognize God's in charge, and he's going to deal with the enemy. You see, God let them delude themselves. He said, I'll choose their delusions. Now, I saw this commercial. They made a commercial over the Mayan prediction of December 21, 2012. And did you see it? It was advertising something. I don't know what, but it was advertising something. And it showed sort of a black and white drawing type picture of, on the Mayan date, maybe the world will flip. The poles will reverse, roll over. And it showed, if they did, the gravitational poles being changed and people leaving the earth. Even had beds and chairs and cars leaving with them. I got to thinking about that. If the rapture takes place, that'll be a great explanation for it. Well, the poles flipped and we lost some folks. Amen. They're going to have some explanation for it, brother. They sure are. They're going to come up with something. And by the way, one day the poles are going to flip. Say, how you know? Because the Bible tells me so. You didn't know that? Well, let me show you. I've shown you before, but you forgot. Stephen amazes me sometimes when he's preaching. He'll say, I told you that before. I want to say on my breath, they don't remember. I've been preaching to them too long. They don't remember. Just tell it again. Amen. Isaiah 24, verse 1. I don't know whether you're going to like this or not, but Isaiah 24, verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Told you he wasn't like that. It's going to happen one day. I personally think the saved folks are going to be gone. But that little commercial they just made might be more accurate than they think. Just might be. Something big is going to happen. A lot of folks think something big is going to happen. Now, the biggest delusion is yet ahead. Biggest delusion, and I'm sad to point this one out to you, and I think you know, the word delusion probably only appears twice in the Bible. Here where we read our text in Isaiah, and if you went over to 2 Thessalonians, remember? 1st, 2 Thessalonians. Remember, Paul is talking about the rapture taking place, about the folks being brought out and the Antichrist being revealed. Remember that? And he says in verse 8, then shall that wicked, King James Bible, of course, with a capital W, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, the Lord's coming. Who's he going to destroy? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. With all power and signs and lying wonders. What's the next words? And with all what? Deceivableness, delusion of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why are they going to perish, Lord? Why are they filled with deceivable unrighteousness? Here it is. He says, because. When you was a kid, somebody asked you why you done something, did you ever say, just because? I used to hate to hear that. Just because. Well, here's the because. Because they receive not the love, the truth, that they might be saved. You know what I'm saying to you? I'm saying to you out in radio land. I'm saying to you in the sound of my voice. The truth of the matter is that you can have the truth now. You can have the love of the truth now. You can have the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved. But if you don't, there's a time coming even God will bring delusion on you. Read it again, verse 12. And for this cause, what cause? That they didn't love the truth. What cause? They wouldn't be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now, I don't know what the lie totally will be. It'll be of the Antichrist. He will be the lie personified. I don't know what you'll see on TV, but it'll be a lie that explains the rapture away. It'll be a lie that tells you that the good people are still here and the bad people are gone. That's what it'll be. That's the lie. And God says, I'm going to send you such a strong delusion, you that are left here, you that missed the rapture, I'm going to send you such a strong delusion because you didn't love the truth and you wouldn't be saved. I'm going to send it. It's of God. Somebody says, I'll wait till you guys are gone, then I know it's real. No, you won't. You'll believe the lie. And the delusion will be so strong you'll fall for it. That's the one that's yet ahead. It's bigger than that. If you were to go to the book of Revelation with me, all the way to the book of Revelation, go to Revelation chapter 13. And of course, in Revelation chapter 13, you've got the two beasts that shows up, or the beast and the false prophet. You've got in Revelation 13, at the end of the chapter, you got the mark, the 666. But you know, I want you to notice something about it. In the early part of chapter 13, verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard. By the way, this leopard here is a type of the Antichrist. Many types in the Bible of the Antichrist. The leopard is the beast that portrays him. You know why? Because he's all mixed up. The leopard is the one animal that's got three different colors on him. The white man can relate to the leopard because he's got a white belly. That's right. The yellow man, the oriental man, can relate to him because he's got a yellow hide. Hear me good. And the black man can relate to him because he's got black spots. He covers everybody. He covers everybody. And you know what? That's what it takes to put a one world government together. That's what it takes. It takes somebody that's just as happy as they can be with a leader that says, I'm coming in with peace. There's going to be a chicken in every pot. Everybody's going to be equal. And that's the delusion that's coming strong right now. Moving on the scene right now. Now in chapter 13, I want you to look at this fella. Down in verse 3, I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. Now watch it, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. Where does the Antichrist get his power? From the dragon. Who is the dragon? The Bible tells us in Revelation 12, he's the devil. The old serpent. The devil. All right. Some of you, tighten your seatbelts. You're hurting a little bit right now. I can read your face. But the truth of the matter is, this fellow's about to show up. And he's going to get wounded. You read on down. He's going to get wounded with a sword. Do you know what's going to happen with this fellow, this leader? He's going to have an assassination attempt on him. That's right. He really is. And he's going to get hurt with it. Now I'm going to send you to a harder book to find. Go to the book of Zechariah. Best thing for you to do is go to the space between the New Testament and the Old Testament and go back to your left. Pick up the book of Zechariah, chapter 11. Can you do that with me? Is it too much labor to use your Bible at church? Bible-believing church, amen? Well, I'd like for you to do that. Because I want to describe to you the wounds that the Antichrist is going to have in the assassination attempt that's mentioned in Revelation 13. Do you ever notice that in politics today, when a politician has a heart attack, it puts him on the front page? Or if something happens, and we've had presidents that had assassination attempt, that's big news. Did you know that? And there's a strange thing about it. It actually makes folks popular. And I read here in Revelation where this fellow is going to be wondered after by the whole world, worshiped by the whole world. Pick it up in chapter 11 of Zechariah, verse 17. Woe to the idle shepherd, not a good shepherd, not the good shepherd, but an idle shepherd, a false shepherd, that leaveth the flock. Watch it now. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the beast that gets wounded in Revelation 13. Now, listen to me. I'm going to make a prediction, and it's okay. If I'm not quite correct, when I get to heaven, I'm closer than you are, probably on it, so I'm not worrying about you. Just listen to me a minute. Keep your eye open for some politician, some world leader, religious or political, that has an assassination attempt and loses an eye. Yeah. Or gets wounded and his arm shall be clean dried up. Now, the old time preachers preached it'd be his left arm. Now, don't say his left arm here. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Why would they say that it was his left arm? Here's why. Because the average man is right-handed. And in the old days, when he fought with a sword, he held it in his right hand. But he had a shield in his left hand. And if you wanted to take a guy out of the battle, get his left arm, because he could not hold the shield. He had a shield blocking his left eye, but he could see you with his right eye, and the sword was in his right hand. If you want to really take him out of the battle, put out his right eye and cripple his left arm, and he's no longer a warrior. Old-timers preach that. I find nothing wrong with it, personally. I think it just may be so. Just may be so. So watch out for that. Now you read in Revelation 13, there's going to be a false prophet. He's going to look like a lamb, but he's not going to be a lamb. And he's going to point to the beast and say, worship him. That's the religious world that's going to say he's the man and point the finger at the beast. Now, there's many types of Antichrist in the Bible. Nimrod was one. Remember him? Book of Genesis, Tower of Babel. Remember Herod that killed all the babies? We talk about it at Christmas time. He was a type of the Antichrist. Probably the best one in the generations that are still alive is Hitler. Hitler came on the scene and fulfilled almost every biblical thing the Antichrist would do, including slaughtering in the Holocaust 6 million Jews. I mean, he fit the bill. If I'd have been preaching during Hitler's time, I'd have said, I believe that's him, because he was fulfilling it. But see, God has let prototypes come. He's let types come on the scene and come on the scene. And the final one is coming soon. And only one thing withholding him. That's the trumpet to get God's people out. This world has never been under such strong delusion as it is right now. Never been so deceived. By religion, by government, by science, every way you want to look, it's under delusion today. And yet God said, I'm so sick and tired of them that I'm going to delude them myself. Say, why in the world would God do that? He says so in verse 4. We read it. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Here's the because. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. God had a reason for saying, okay, Finally, I'll just turn you over to your own ways. I'll let you reap the crop you planted, because when I called, you wouldn't hear me. When I spoke, you wouldn't pay me any attention. So I'm going to help you along in the delusions that you're chasing after. Folks, I want to say something to you plainly. This old Antichrist may have a fake resurrection as we think about Easter. And I'm going to tell you something that would bring the world to worship him. If he suddenly declared assassination attempt, some king, some president, he's dead. And the next thing you know, somebody's saying he's alive again. Well, read the book of Revelation close and you'll see he's going to get Satan's spirit in him. You folks that like to sit up and watch the zombie movies and be scared in nightmares and all that stuff, there's something coming ahead that'll make that child's play when this fellow shows up. Not kidding you. This world is changing, and not for the good. We have been so blessed in America, so free, with such an opportunity to earn our own way, to worship in freedom, to preach like I preach tonight without fear or favor. We've been so blessed to do that. But the time is coming when we're not going to be able to do that. There are people in Canada right now in jail for speaking like I spoke tonight. It will happen in America. In our public schools, God's name now is a dirty word. Did you see in the news this week where one of the schools was having some kind of patriotic rally and they were going to sing Greens, whatever his first name is, God bless the USA? Remember? Well, they had to stop it because it had God in it. Isn't that amazing? Greenwood, is that his name? I think they were going to change his song and take God out of it. And I think he said, if you do, I'll sue you. So good for him. But that's where we've come to. That's where we've come to. It's changing. Delusion is changing it. You're going to wake up one day and say, what did we give away? What did we lose? We lost our grandkids' heritage. That's what we did. And that's bad. Everybody says, well, Pastor Carter sees a booger behind every tree. I've been behind the tree, have you? I know what I'm talking about when I'm telling you this stuff. And I wish it wasn't so. I wish I'd stand up here tonight and say, we got 50 years to serve God, and we're going to see revival, and we're going to see thousands saved. We ought to try for that. But I'm not going to tell you that because I don't believe the book reads that way. I believe we better get done what we're going to do soon. While it's daylight, we better work. Amen. Things can change, folks. I'm talking about religious freedom. Dr. Earl Lee sitting back there. Did any of you see the legal alert from Brother Gibbs? Raise your hand if you saw it. That's several of you. It's got Dr. Lee's story that he tells when he's over in 1991. Did you see it, Earl? It's good. I mean, it's bad, but it's good in the sense of warning us. He and I and some others made trips over to Russia in the 90s. We saw the joy of communism being broken enough that the underground church could come out in public, and it was a tremendous thing to see, and that's what the story is in this paper. Some of you have read it, so I won't read it all to you. But Dr. Lee and the other preachers was in a meeting in 1991. And they had the privilege of sharing in the first underground church that was able to be above ground for 30 years. Service lasted 5.5 hours. Wouldn't you like that? Amen. Some of you would, honestly. And some of you would kill you. Truth of the matter is, it was a tremendous blessing. But a pastor was called up to testify, and he didn't much want to. He didn't want to sound like he was building himself up. But the other preachers wanted him to do it. Here's his story. He had a job. In Russia, everybody is assigned a job. I talked with some college students over there. You don't go out hunting a job. They tell you where you're going to work. That's right. He had a government job, what we call all of them's government jobs. They have signed them, whatever it is, digging a ditch or whatever it is. But when he got saved and started preaching, they took his job away. Finally, they arrested him and put him in jail 4 different times. And they demanded that he deny Jesus and stop preaching. Each time he refused to deny Christ. He was arrested a 5th time. And they told him that this time they would make him deny Jesus and quit preaching. They brought his oldest child in and put her in front of him and told him that if he did not sign that he would deny Jesus and quit preaching, they would literally put hot pokers in both of his daughter's ears and make her deaf. Then they would pull out her tongue, cut it off, and make her dumb. While standing there looking at his daughter and thinking of the consequences, his daughter looked up at him and said, "Daddy, don't you deny Jesus for me." He didn't. And they literally put hot pokers in her ears and cut her tongue out. They kept him in prison. And after a while, they brought his next oldest child in. And because he would not sign to deny Christ and stop preaching, they did the same to her. They kept him in prison still longer. And after a while, they brought his third oldest child in and did the same to her. They eventually let him out of prison. Now here's Dr. Lee's words. "I noticed that while he was sharing his testimony, there were 3 adult families sitting together, and someone was signing to them in sign language. After the long service was over, I asked our interpreter if they were his older children, and she said yes. I asked if I could go and ask them a question. She arranged for us to do that. The signer told them that I wanted to ask them a question, and they said, okay. I asked them, 'Are you not bitter at God?' Immediately, 3 sets of hands began to move up in unison. With smiles on their faces, they signed. It was just our reasonable service." Talk to Brother Lee about it. He'll give you some more detail. Brother Gibbs printed that in the paper because when he was with us, you remember, I think he preached on "It's Just Our Reasonable Service." And then Dr. Lee shared that with him. Folks, we've had it so good, so good. We have no idea such a thing as this. I was over there, Earl was over there. That was one man's story. Story after story. One of our interpreters, Constantine, they took his daughter and killed her. Killed her. I'm talking about real people we know by name. I'm saying to you, the change in America is not for good. If we go under a dictatorship, if we go under communism, what you and I can call freedom is gone. Do what you can do. The best thing you can do is win a soul to Christ. Best thing you can do is stay faithful to God. Best thing you can do is support His cause and His work. Because what we're doing is we're restraining a great evil that's in position to pounce as soon as God's people